So we're taking a look at the Chidushim of Rav Soloveitchik on Kodshim. And the first piece is actually in Hilchos Lulav, Perek Ches. And the Rambam writes, Afal Pishe Kol HaMoados Mitzvah L'smach Bahen. So there's a mitzvah of Simcha on every Moed, on every Yontif. But Bechagas Sukos Hoysa B'migdash Yom Simcha Yisera. There was an extraordinary simcha that took place during Sukkot in the Beis Hamikdash. Shenemar, and the Rambam quotes a pasuk, V'samachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem shivas yom. And the Rambam understands that lifnei Hashem Elokeichem means in the Beis Hamikdash, right in the presence of Hashem. V'divei Rambam tzrichim iyun. I don't understand the Rambam, he says. Tahareh, hi David.
Hi.
This is a copy if you want.
Okay, thank you.
And we're up to about line 5.
Okay.
Tahareh krod usmachtem koi al mitzvahs lulav. The interpretation of this pasuk that the Rambam quotes is that in the Beis HaMikdash, we take the lulav. Now, we take the lulav on a Doraisa level only one day. And that's B'yom HaRishon, Af B'yom HaRishon. But there's another pasuk that says that you have to take the lulav 7 days. How do we reconcile that? How can the Torah say take the lulav 7 days? And the answer is that that's only lifnei Hashem. That's only in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, once the
Mikdash... 7 days or 1 day?
For 7 days. So outside the Mikdash, it's 1 day.
Uh-huh.
B'yom HaRishon. But in the Mikdash, it was 7 days. That's all on a deraisa level. Now, after the Mikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a special takana zeichel Mikdash. So we take the lulav 7 days outside the Beis HaMikdash. The first day is the Doraisa, because the Torah requires ulkatam lachem. And the balance of the Chag is zeichel Mikdash, as a way of remembering what the mitzvah was like when the Mikdash stood. The Rambam quotes this pasuk to prove something entirely different. You know, there's the Rambam's interpretation of this pasuk, which, according to Chazal, is the source for the mitzvah of lulav kol shiva, and the Rambam says that this mitzvah is a mitzvah of simcha kol shiva. And in fact, the Gemara in Masechta Sukkah derives the special simcha of Sukkot, which is called Simchas Beis HaShoeva, from a different pasuk. From the pasuk in Tanakh that says "Ushavtem Mayim Besosa," so the Rambam, in effect, is making a major change over here, because instead of using this pasuk for the mitzvah of lulav, as Chazal did in the Torah's Kohanim, the Rambam uses this pasuk for the mitzvah of simcha, and yet the Gemara in Sukkah uses that pasuk. It has an entirely different pasuk for the mitzvah of simcha. In a sense, there's a twofold question over here. One dimension of the question is that the Rambam derives something from this pasuk, which is not really so. The Rambam establishes the mitzvah of simcha called shiva during Sukkot in Migdash from this pasuk. This pasuk is referring to lulav, not to simcha. And the second dimension of the question is, how could the Rambam claim that the mitzvah of Simcha is derived from this pasuk in Chumash, when in fact the Gemara tells us that there's a different source, not a pasuk in Chumash, Ushav Tamayim Pesosam, that's the source for the mitzvah of Simcha. Now in that sugya, in Masech Tesuk on Daf Mem Ches, there's a Tosus. And the Tosus has an interpretation of the Gemara's question. The Gemara says, Minohani Mili, meaning, how does the Mishnah know that there's a separate mitzvah of simcha on Sukkot? That's what the Gemara asks. And the Gemara derives it from Ushavta Mayim Besosam Mimani Yeshua. Now, this pasuk, the first part of which, Ushavta Mayim Besosam, is referring obviously to drawing water. The second part is referring to a certain mayon, a certain, what do they call it? A spring in English, I think it's called. And it means that we have to bring water and draw it from this mayon. Okay, we'll soon see exactly what this mayon is, but it's outside of Yerushalayim. Do you ever hear the phrase Me'a Shiloh? You're familiar with that?
Yeah.
So they used to go out to the Me'a Shiloh. They used to draw water. And that water was used for the mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim. It's interesting. The whole year round in Kodshim, we have a mitzvah called Nisuch HaYayim. But on Pesach, on Sukkot, excuse me, we substitute Mayim for Yayim. And we actually pour water over the Mizbeach. That's called Nisuch HaYayim. Nisuch HaMayim. I keep making the same mistake. At least I'm consistent. Okay, so Nisuch HaMayim. And that mitzvah, Nisuch HaMayim, requires simcha. It has to be done with great joy. And how do we know that? Ushav temayim bisason, which means simcha. Mimayne Yeshua is a reference to she'ivas mayim from the Me'a Shiloh. And this is all the way Tosfos understands the Gemara and how the Gemara derives the mitzvah of simcha called Simchas Beis HaShoeva from this pasuk. He says, Divrei Rambam kashin, Divrei Tosfos kashin mi'od. Donuvur b'mishnah sham, debenishpecha o nizgalgala ha'im emala min akiyar. In other words, that although they would go out to the Mayan if they could only draw water from the Mayan, but let's say something happened and they couldn't get the water from the Mayan, so they're allowed to use mei kiyar. You know, in the Mikdash there was a kiyar. I know there's a fancy word for it in English with a V. I forget what it's called. Anybody remember? It's at the tip of my tongue. Anyway, it's a... it's with an L. What's it called?
A viaduct?
No. It's a... something or other. Anyway, it's a kiyar. And that was one of the clay shares.
When they get the water for the kiyar?
The water from the kiyar could be any water as long as it was in the Scottish and a clay shares. But what happened was they took the water from the Me'a Shiloh and nishpacha, it got spilled. And they, in such a case, the Mishnah paskins memali min akiyar. All you have to do is take it from this laboratory from this kiyar. Hare she got made kiyar ksherim l'nisuch. Now we have a rule: kol ha'memos ksherim l'me'a kiyar. Again, that's a machlokus in itself, but we paskin like that sheet in Zvachim, that any waters can be put into the May, you know, into the Kiyar. And if any waters can be put into the May Kiyar, then any waters can be used for the Mitzvah of She'ivas Mayim, and therefore of Nisuch HaMayim. And Tosfos just finished saying that you don't need, that the Mitzvah of She'ivas Mayim is derived from the Pasuk, Yeshua means it has to be a special water that's coming from that specific place, that Maya. So let's just summarize the two questions that we have. The first question is, the Rambam uses the Pasuk Usmachtem Lufnei Hashem Elokech, not for the mitzvah of Lulav, as we saw in the Torah's Kohanim, but rather for the mitzvah of Simcha, which he calls the mitzvah of She'ivas Mayim. That's called Simchas Beis HaShoeva. And the second question we're asking is that the Gemara in Sukkah derives the mitzvah of Simcha, of Simchas Beis HaShoeva, from Ushavtem Mayim B'Sason, which seems to imply that the water has to be taken, drawn from a specific place. And yet the Gemara says that if the water spills, you can just go to the Kiyar and take the water. So where's the mitzvah of She'iva here? It seems like we're forfeiting the mitzvah of She'ivas Mayim, and any water could go into the Kiyar. What's going on? And now we have what I call the Brisket Derech at its best. You know, a typical Brisket Derech. And we're famous for taking one mitzvah and splitting it into two parts. That's what we call Tzvei Dinim. He says, Nira Pashut, the Shnei Dinim Yuchadim Nemru B'chalosh Shem Simcha B'Sukkos. As we talk about the mitzvah of Simcha on Sukkos, the Rambam says it's a special, unique Simcha. It's a Simcha Yisera. It's not equivalent and identical to the other Simcha on Shavuos, on Pesach. It's a unique Simcha. What makes that Simcha unique? What kiyum, what mitzvah am I fulfilling through that Simcha? And the answer that Rav Soloveitchik is going to offer is two different mitzvahs. So we're going to take that one mitzvah of Simcha on Sukkos, and we're going to subsume it under two different categories. Number one, it's Simchas Yontif. Why? Because Sukkos is a yontif, it's a regal, like all three, like all regalim, right? They're not two regalim, they're three regalim. This is what you would call, in terms of methodology, a din klali. A din klali means when something seems to be a candidate for its own personality, but it can be placed or subsumed under a general halacha that applies in many cases, and this is just one application of the general halacha. So the mitzvah of simcha applies to any regal, and there's no reason why sukkah should be different than any regal. Okay, that's called a din klol. The ode, and he says, now there's a din miyuchad. Din miyuchad means now sukkah separates itself from the other regalim and emerges with its own unique din of simcha. And that's Chagas Sukkos, but where? In the Beis Hamikdash. So this is fascinating. There's a mitzvah of Simcha on Sukkos, which is no different than the mitzvah of Simcha on Pesach and on Shavuos, insofar as Sukkos is a regal like any other regal, the Samachta v'Chagecha. That mitzvah of Simcha applies anywhere on the face of the earth, all over the globe. Then there's a unique mitzvah of Simcha on Sukkos, but it can only be fulfilled where? In the Beis HaMikdash. And that is derived from the pasuk Usmachtem, what's the next two words? Lifnei Hashem, Shivas Yom. Lifnei Hashem is an allusion to the Beis HaMikdash. Now it's very interesting, because I'm wondering, in the second din simcha that the Rav is presenting, how do you define it? Is the Rav saying that this is simchas haregel, but it can only apply in the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkos? Or is the Rav saying that this is a mitzvah in Mikdash, and this mitzvah can only apply in Sukkos? Do you hear the difference? You did. So let me ask you this. If you were the Rambam, and the Rambam is very sensitive to codifying things, where would you codify this halacha of Simcha and Sukkos, the second halacha of Simcha and Sukkos? Would you put it in Hilchas Sukkah, or would you put it in Hilchas Beis HaBechira, in the laws of the Mikdash?
How did you learn it though?
If we're going to learn it, it's a mitzvah of simcha, but it can only be fulfilled in the Mikdash, then the Rambam would say that's an additional dimension to the simcha of Sukkos. It's not coincidental that this mitzvah of simcha is limited to the 7 days of Sukkos. But if on the other hand, it's a mitzvah of Mikdash, just that it can only be fulfilled on Sukkos, then Sukkos is just setting up the background, but really the mitzvah is rooted in Beis HaMikdash, and the Rambam should have therefore quoted it in Hilchos Beis HaBechira.
My gut reaction is Sukkos.
And the Rambam has it in Perekhes Milchus Sukkos. So if that be the case, I'm inclined to think that the second halacha here of Simcha, even though it's limited to Mikdash, is rooted in Sukkos. It's a yontif halacha.
Is there a comparable halacha by Pesach and Shavuos also?
No, absolutely not. There's a general halach of Simcha that applies to Sukkos in the same exact way that applies to the other two regalim. But this unique Simcha is a din misuya. And it's 7 days of Simcha in the Mikdash. Again, I would have said it's a Mikdash halach, because you've already exhausted the halach of Simcha as a regal, and you've said that Sukkos is no different than any other regal. But the Rav now has a Simcha Yisera, that in addition to the Simcha of a regal, Sukkos has a different simcha, v'sham lifnei Hashem. I would have said that should be classified. That should be codified in Hilchos lifnei Hashem. I mean, Hilchos Beis HaMikdash.
Can we learn any parallel to lulav, where in the gulim is only immersion and the rest of Sukkos?
Correct. That's what we started with today. Then why is it that we take lulav all 7 days? So the Rambam says
is that a lulav in Mikdash or in lulav?
Same question, identical. Because the Gemara derives from this pasuk, who smacht them with Hashem Shivas Yomim, that is a mitzvah taking the lulav in the Mikdash all 7 days. We have a takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai of Zechel and Mikdash even begvulin. So let's see how the Rav develops this idea. He says the following: Yisod Hadinhu. In other words, where's the kiyum mitzvah of Simcha in the Beis HaMikdash during Sukkos? Dibisukis milvad. No, it's in addition to kiyum simcha of a samachta bechagecha dinemer b'chol aragolim. Od ika chalos din. Now, I don't know why he feels compelled to add those words chalos din. I would have said od ika kiyum yuchad. I would have omitted those two words chalos din. Kiyum yuchad shel simcha b'migdash. Fine. Oh, the yisodo havikiyum simcha al yidei halel v'shevach b'migdash. There are full mishnayos in the Sechta Sukkah that tell us how the simcha space of Shoeva was conducted, and it's all about shir v'shevach. It's all about being mahalel and praising God in the Beis HaMikdash. Again, if you ask me how to fulfill the separate kiyum of simcha that the Rav has derived from the Rambam as a unique mitzvah of simcha in Migdash on Sukkos, how do we fulfill that mitzvah? He says through Shir and Hallel. Very interesting, because can you tell me, I'm quizzing you, how do we fulfill the mitzvah of simcha on all three regalim, Sukkos no less? Can we answer that question? Ain't simcha ella bibasar. Ella biyayin. Or for your wife, you have to buy her some new clothing or new jewelry. Or for your children, you have to buy them a gozu clothes. You know, different games and toys they play with. Every simcha is relative to whoever you are, but basically it means to rejoice. It has nothing to do with shir and halel. Shir and Halil is a separate dimension of a kiyum, of a kiyum unto itself. Now we're saying that the unique mitzvah of Simcha on Sukkos is Shir v'Halil. The fact that you're jumping around and you're in a great mood because you got a new suit, or because you're eating a steak dinner, that has nothing to do with the kiyum hamiyuchad of the Simcha Yisera of Sukkos.
Does he refer to Shami Simcha here?
Yeah, we're going to get to Shalmi Simcha when we talk about the general mitzvah of Simcha that applies to all three regalim. And that's eating meat. Although today we don't have Shalmi Simcha, so we replace it by eating a good steak or a good piece of tzlikatev. But as far as the unique mitzvah of Simcha that applies to Sukkos above and beyond the Simcha of other regalim, this has nothing to do with Shalmi Simcha. This is a kiyum of Shir v'Halel. And that's the Shivas Yomim of Simcha. So it's very interesting.
You say shir, do you mean like the word about? Does shir mean about here? When you say shir, what does shir mean?
Shir means a song. Shir means a trumpet. We're going to soon see that there were so many different instruments that were playing. Everybody had their favorite instrument. They would take out, you know, you were a clarinet player, you took out your clarinet, you played the cymbals, brought your cymbals, and the whole community came out singing and playing music. And all this was done as a praise to God. That's a whole new type of simcha. You know,
in the Beit HaMikdash, or this has nothing to do with the Beit
HaMikdash? In the Beit HaMikdash. Again, it only applies to the Beit HaMikdash. Everything that we do is Zecher LeMikdash.
There were millions of Jews in those days. How did they all fit into the Beit HaMikdash?
I guess that at some point the mitzvah of simcha, you know, expanded the walls, but I'm saying they took it outside. It's like, you know, you remind me of the famous question the post gave. If, let's say, someone gets married right before Sukkos, and there's a mitzvah to be Mesameach Chasam Akala, if we take it into the sukkah is a little bit cramped,
right. So
the Gemara allows you to take that simcha even outside of the sukkah. Yeah. You know, that's the overflow crowd, you could say. Yeah. Now, let's take a look at the universal mitzvah of simcha, meaning that applies to all three regalim, no less, sukkahs no less. That's in Perek Vav Mihilchus Yontif. Again, we were learning Hilchus Sukkah because the Rambam has a simcha yisera on sukkahs. So that's in Hilchus Lulav, Hilchus Sukkah. But the universal halacha of v'samachta b'chagech, the Rambam codifies in Hilchus Yontif, Perek Ches. Perek Vav, excuse me, and the Rambam says mitzvah simchas al yontif hu gam shar simchas min haTorah hu bichlal din simcha nemar achilu shesiyah uksus, meaning that we have to wear special clothing we have to eat certain meats and drink certain wines. The kiyumo toli l'kol echad v'yachad karoylo. There's no one objective answer to how to fulfill sukkah. It's not one size fits all. And therefore the Rambam writes, yesh b'chal osa simcha l'smoach hu ubanav u'bnei beso kol echad karoylo. This is one of those very rare exceptions to the rule. The rule for 99.9% of the mitzvahs is it's objective, it's uniform for everyone. The exception is going to be Simchas Yontif, because the Rambam says, Kol Echad Karoylo Kesad. The Rambam wants to spell this out. He says, for Ketanim, you buy them candies. And for the women folk, you get them new clothing. And for the men, you give them meat to eat and wine to drink. And then he writes, V'afal pisha achilo shesir b'modos b'chlal mitzvah saseh. He says, even though the achilo and shesir during the moed is mitzvah saseh, nevertheless, in the Beis HaMikdash, at the time of the Mikdash, they had a special mitzvah of eating from the korban shlom. Okay. Now let's ask another question. We've established the universal mitzvah of simcha that applies to all regalim, called echad karoylo. And Sukkot's no less than that. And now we're up to the Simcha Yisera in Sukkot that took place in the Migdash. And he says, Masha'en came, Simcha b'Migdash, b'chagas Sukkos, eino miskayim b'shar smachos. He says, you can't fulfill it by jumping and eating and wearing special clothing and beautiful clothing. No. El kiyumo hu rak b'halel v'shevach. There's only one method of fulfilling the Simcha Yisera of Sukkot and Mikdash, and that's through singing the praises of Hashem, the Hallel Shem. And for this, I want to show you the Rambam here in Perek Ches Milchus Lulav, Hei Chaisa Simcha Zu, and the Rambam says, Omrim Divrei Shiros V'Tishbaros. Does anybody know who is at the forefront of the Simcha?
Kohen Gadol.
Well, the Kohen Gadol was probably there too, but it was the Talmidei Chacham, the scholars. And the Rambam goes on to describe how the scholars knew how to formulate Divrei Shiros V'Tishbachos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the members of the community would observe, they would stand on the sidelines and watch. That's why even today, although we don't have Simchas Pesach HaShoev the way they had it when the Mikdash stood, we have a certain resemblance of what word am I looking for to duplicate and remember what went on in the Midrash. And if you go to any yeshiva during Sukkot or any Hasidic chatzer, what they call shtibel or the Rebbe, you will see that the Talmidei Chacham are in the center of the action, and that's not just coincidental. That's the way it was at the time of the Midrash. And amongst the Shiros V'Tishbachos, the Talmidei Chacham used to speak about Kapora and Tara, because keep in mind that it's not coincidental that Sukkot comes on the coattails of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Notice, after we reach the Tara of Lifnei Hashem to Torah of Yom Kippur, then we celebrate Simchas Beis HaShoeva on Sukkot. And the Mishnah in Sukkah says, Chasidim, who is in the middle of the circle? Those were the Chasidim. Again, when the Mishnah says Chasidim, it doesn't necessarily mean Lubavitcher Chasidim. You know, this was even before there was, believe it or not, there was something before Lubavitch. It's hard to put it out. But the Chasidim are those who were very dedicated to the mitzvahs, and there were Anshei Maisim who were very dedicated to doing Chesed to other people. These were the higher echelons, so the elitists, so to speak, in the positive sense of Klal Yisrael. And Hayu Merakdim Bavuko Shalor. Wow, this is unbelievable. They were jugglers. They used to take torches, and they would juggle torches. And once again, we see this today in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, or even in the Chasana, you'll see it. The Omrim, this is the language of the Mishnah, the Omrim Divrei Shiros V'Tishbachos. So the Rambam didn't invent it, he took it from the Mishnah. Hare, now we're getting back to the text. Dekiyum simchas yontif b'migdash b'sukkos u'b'shir v'shevach. Not like the simcha of regalim where I put myself into a joyous mood by wearing new clothing, by eating meat and drinking wine, or when I give my wife, you know, a pair of earrings, you know, gold earrings, and she's thrilled. And that's a whole different key. Okay. So now we want to turn to the other side, the other page. But says Shiny Kiyum Simcha Shall Sukkas Mishara Gol. Dishara Gol Lekashum Kiyum Bifnei Atzma B'Migdash. Right, so in on Sukkas, I'm sorry, on Shavuos or on Pesach, if I decide that I want to go into the Migdash and Hoopla, you know, I want to be in a joyous mood, that would not in any way enhance my Simcha. Because that simcha has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. But besukkis, on Sukkis, we have a gravitational pull to the Mikdash, and we have a separate kiyum of simcha in the Beis HaMikdash, Shivas Yom. And he says, kiyuma avichelik mimitzus asei shel simchas yodif. Wow. Here in this line, the Rav is addressing my question of before, and he's taking a stand. I wasn't sure as to whether this extra simcha was part of Yontif, was part of Sukkis, or it's a separate kiyum in Migdash. He's saying it's a kiyum of Yontif. And yeah, that's what Daniel said before. And he proves it from the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam writes, Shetzivanu l'smach b'regolim, for who Amru Yisal v'samachta b'chagecha, u'bechlal Amru v'samachta b'chagecha, masha Amru l'smach pam b'minei simcha b'zelech ol basar, l'shtos yayim, l'lbosh b'godim chadoshim, l'chalik minim peris minim asik l'ktanim, noshim is klei nigur. Oh. And now he writes, the lischalk, which means to play, is another word for play when you talk about instruments? Is there more sophisticated?
No, play.
To play instruments and dance in the Migdash. Vehi simchas beis ha-shaveva. So the Rambam is addressing the question how to fulfill the mitzvah v'samachta b'chagecha of Sukkis. And he writes that you have to have that subjective personal simcha. And then he writes on top of that in the Migdash to play these instruments and to dance in the beis ha-shaveva. Bless you, which is Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So we see quite clearly that according to the Rambam Shita, there are two halachas of Simchas Sukkis. One is Simchas Regolim, and then there's a unique mitzvah that's mandated for Sukkis in the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkis. But both of these come under the mitzvah of Simchas Sukkis, under the mitzvah of the Yontif of Sukkis. Harivin called him Ram Mafurash. It's explicit in the Rambam to be Hilchas Simchas Regolim Umitzvasa within the context of the greater context of Simchas HaRegel, which we said was a Din Klali. Nemar B'Sukkis Kiyum Yuchad. Sukkis gets on its own unique Kiyum of Simchas HaRegel, and that's Simcha B'Migdash. And the way to fulfill that is through Shiros V'Tishbachos.
This chakira you make, whether it's a din yomtiv or a din mikdash. I mean, it's not going to is an afkem. Normally, have to go for an afkem.
Right.
What's the consequence?
So, Mir Hashem, as we go along, we'll see an afkem. Oh, you have something in mind?
I was just wondering for the other kind. Let's say, for example, the curse that's brought in the Kochim on Yom Kippur. It's a unique
Avoda.
Is that a din in Kochim, or is that a din in Yom Kippur?
Right, that's for sure a din in Kochim.
I was listening to the Yom Kippur. Because it's darker part of the Yom Kippur.
You know, it could be that in addition to being a kiyum of Karban, it's also a kiyum of Yom Kippur. That's possible. And Afkamina would be the sugya of Todim Sheinu Todim. I'm trying to remember what was the case there. Oh, give me a minute and see if by chance in a million it'll come back to me. Oh. Oh, yeah. That's the sugya. I don't remember where it is right now, but as I go along, I'll hopefully remember. The question is, if let's say they only had one behema on Yontif, and they could have used it either for the Karban Tamid or for the Karban Musaf. Oh. So the Gemara says that we would have been inclined on the one hand to say that Tamid gets preference because Tadim Shem and Tamid. On the other hand, we're inclined towards Musaf because of the Kedusha Sayyam. So you see clearly that the Gemara understands that all the Karbanis that are brought on Yontif are part of the Kedusha Sayyam. I can't remember where the sugi is. Maybe it's in Chagiga, but I'm not sure.
You mentioned it about a month or two ago, another shiur.
Yes, at 8 o'clock shiur on Shabbos morning.
Right.
I think so. But I don't remember where the Gemara is. But that was the Gemara's clear back and forth. And the nafkamina is going to be, what do you do in such a case? Now, by the way, Tadir Rishayna Tadir is not just a din in Kedima, priorities, but it's also indicates a separate kiyum, that something that's Tadir is on a higher level than something that's not Tadir. So, for example, if it was an issue between a carbon Tamid and a carbon Shlamim or Ola, then certainly Tamid would come first, because Tamid gets that special significance. But in the case of Musav, because that carbon is rooted in the Kedusha Sayyom, therefore, it might take on a whole different dimension, a whole different status. Okay, we got off a little topic here. He says, "V'hinei be'emes ika machlokas v'yushalmi sukkah." How do you interpret this pasuk? Usmachtem lufnei Hashem elkecha. One day, the Yushalmi says, "B'simchas lulav hakasu medaber," that the pasuk is referring to taking the lulav in the Migdash 7 days, and the other man, the Yomer, says, "O b'simchas shlomim." In other words, not that we take the lulav called Shiva, but that in Migdash they had a carbon shlamim that they brought on each day of the 7 days of Sukkos. The Rambam quite clearly accepts the opinion that it's referring to lulav, because the Rambam establishes in the Yad HaZaka that there's a mitzvah of netilas lulav in Migdash all 7 days. But yet the Rambam wants to say that in addition to this element of lulav, the mitzvah of lulav called Shiva in Migdash, is also another element of shlamim, meaning of simcha. Now, again, keep in mind that when we talk about shlamim or shalmei simcha, we're talking about a kiyum of simcha, meaning there are many different karbanos, but the one category of karban that's specifically linked up to simcha is shlamim. Shlomim have a lot of major unique features to them. You know, there's Nisuch HaYayin, and there's Tnufas Chazon Shalom. There are many different things in Shlomim, and actually the word Shlomim comes from the root word Shlemut. To be Shalom means to be perfect. So that's a kind of a level, a dimension of Simcha. So in other words, the Rambam understood that within the context of Simchas Yontif, in Migdash, the Torah commands us in a special mitzvah of Simcha on Sukkot, of Smachtel Lufnei Hashem Elkechem Shivas Yomim. And according to the Rambam, that special Simcha takes on two different, shall we say, kiyumim. One is lulav, and the lulav has to be taken for 7 days in the Migdash. And number two, a certain element of Simcha, which we're going to identify with Shiros V'Tishbachos. Vinira, the Gamal Yedein Tilas Lulav Ika Kiyum Shel Simcha. Wow, this is wild. Until now, we've been saying that Simcha is fulfilled through Shira Vehodaya, you know, Halel Vezimra. Now we're saying you can fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha, that unique mitzvah of Simcha Yisera on Sukkot in the Mikdash, through Nitilas Lulav. And this is a great, how shall I say, benefit for us. Why? Because this is very odd. How can the Rambam define and derive two different things from one pasuk, from one mitzvah? The mitzvah is smachtem lufnei Hashem elkechem shivas yomim. So tell me, what is that simcha lufnei Hashem in the Mikdash? If you're going to tell me it's shiros v'tishpachos, fine. Now you're in trouble, because you don't have a source for lulav in Mikdash. And if you're going to say it's lulav, then you don't have a source for what? For the mitzvah simcha of shir v'al v'hala.
I thought lulav and mitzvah.
But he's saying like that outside the Beis HaMikdash, maybe there's a separate concept of Ritzui and Lulav, like the Ritva says, the reason why lulav hagozel is possible because it's not something that could be maratza, even though ritza is always identified with the base of English, but lulav is very unique, and lulav has a certain magical status of as if it were in the Mikdash, even though it's not. Could be shofar also comes under that category, but I lost my trend. What was I about to say? Oh yeah, so the Rav is going to say now that after you exhaust your whole list of dimensions of lulav, and you'll tell me a lulav is this and a lulav is that, now I want to add something else to the list. A lulav is simcha. It's a kiyum simcha. Where? In the Beis HaMikdash. Kol shivas yomim, there's a kiyum simcha usmachtem lefnei Hashem elokeichem. And again, remember that one day it says that simcha usmachtem lefnei Hashem elokeichem kol shivas yomim is with lulav. And that's the source for lulav. The Rambam, on the other hand, uses this pasuk to derive the mitzvah of simcha, which we identify with shir v'hodaya. But the answer is, there's no stira. The Rambam feels that you can derive from the same pasuk both lulav and shir v'hodaya. How so? That's very paradoxical. The answer is, all of these are a kiyum simcha. They all merge, so to speak, into one entity called a kiyum simcha and migdash, whether it's by taking the lulav, or whether it's by playing these instruments and singing praises to Hashem.
I understand the shir and the basa. Where does the lulav come to simcha?
Is this yours or mine?
Right.
Yours.
Right.
Okay, I thought I had. What?
Where does the lulav come to simcha? I don't understand. The,
okay, we don't understand it, but listen to the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Usmachtem lefnei Hashem elokeichem shivas yomim," and the Gemara derives the mitzvah of lulav from that. The fact that we take lulav kol shiva is based on this Gemara in the Sechta Sukkah that derives from the pasuk Usmachtem lefnei Hashem elokeichem shivas yomim, because the only other pasuk for lulav we have is Biyom HaRishon. So what are we doing taking the lulav 7 days? The answer is Usmachtem lefnei Hashem elokeichem shivas yomim. The Gemara says, how do you fulfill that mitzvah simcha? By taking the lulav. Where? Lefnei Hashem in the Midrash. Today, Zecha lefnei. V'nira de gamal yidei netilas lulav ika kiyum shel simcha. The unique simcha of what? Of Migdash. That unique simcha of Sukkot in Migdash is fulfilled through lulav. Lulav has in it a certain power like a carbon shlomim. Just like a carbon shlomim is a kiyum simcha, so to lulav is a kiyum simcha. I'll give you an example. We mentioned before the Ritva. The Ritva says that mitzvah above Avera is derived from a pasuk in Malachi that compares gozel to Piseach. Piseach is a balmum, and gozel is a stolen animal. So Reuven steals Shimon's animal and he wants to bring it as a carbon. No good. It's a no-no. The carbon is pasul. Why is it pasul? Because it's like Piseach. The pasuk equates it with a Baal Mum. A Mum is possible in Migdash, and so too Gezel, Gozel is possible in Migdash. Oh. Now, the Gemara applies the din of Mitzvah Baba Vera, which is derived from this Pasuk of O Gozel O Piseach, to a Mitzvah Baba Vera, which means he stole a Lulav. Now, the Ritva asks himself, what do you mean he stole a Lulav? So, if he stole a lulav, what does that have to do with the pasuk that's referring to kachin? The pasuk of O Gozel O Piseach is referring to a stolen animal, not a stolen lulav. How can you derive lulav from an animal? And how can you say that a lulav, if it's stolen, is pasul in mitzvah, so it's a mitzvah ba'aver based on kachin? So the Ritva comes on the radical chiddush, and he says that lulav has a din ritzui like a carbon. Maybe that's what Nanuim is all about. Have you ever gone through the Shulchan Aruch, the Siman about Nanuim?
No.
If you need a headache, that's the easiest way of doing it. There are like 18 different sheetahs of how to do Nanuim. It's the most complicated sugya you can imagine.
Nanuim?
You know, shaking the lulav. You know, you look around you to the right and to the left. Everybody's doing something different, you know. Or he's looking at you to see what you're doing. Hopefully the Shliach Tzibur knows what he's doing. But truth is, nobody knows what they're doing. There's so many different possibilities that how to do Nanuim. You know, Kenneth Meshugamach, you can go absolutely berserk. Why is Nanuim so complicated? because Nanuim is also a way in which we praise Hashem, almost like bringing God a gift. Now, you'll say to me, Berzon, come on, you know, this is not for curses. You can't tell me that we're bringing God a gift. Right? You should tar and feather me publicly for saying such words. But the Gemara says it. The Gemara says you bring a carbon ol, it's called the Dorah on Lifnei Hashem. And the Gemara says that first you bring the Chatos, and then you bring the Asher. It's the Chatos, so it clears your record. You know, imagine you're standing trial in front of the king. So first let the Praklitim, you know, the defense attorneys come forward. And once they clean you and clear your record, now you bring an ol, and now you bring a Dorah to the belt. Because he's reinstated you as a rank and file citizen. The Lulav has the power to be like a gift to Hashem. We are singing your praises, Hashem. You are all over the universe, and we are, the pasuk says, Atze Hayar Yiranenu Ka. That's a pasuk in Tehillim. That the trees and out in the forest are singing praise to Hashem. That's a reference to the lulav. And that praise to Hashem is a kiyum simcha. Very interesting how simcha operates. Praise to Hashem is simcha. Yeah, David.
Are we learning that in our day, when we take the lulav on the holiday, that the taking of it inherently gives us good simcha, or do we have to have our kavana
Excellent question. I don't know. You know, I think if you were to ask this question to a Soloveitchik, he would probably tell you, don't bother me with such questions. Ask it to your Hasidish Rebbe. But I'm not a Soloveitchik, so I can be like a Hasidish Rebbe. I think what it means is the following. It's two-dimensional. On the one hand, there's an objective act of simcha, which the halacha objectifies. I don't care what mood you're in, I don't care what you're thinking about, you're shaking the lulav in the Beis HaMikdash, that is an act of simcha. That's how the halacha defines it. On the other hand, simcha is belief. Simcha is also not objective. It's not in the maisa, but it's in the emotion. And you should be feeling when you praise Hashem by taking the lulav. Now let me ask you a question. When do we take the lulav? Well, first we take it whenever we take it. And some people take it in the sukkah, some people take it in the shul. Those who take the lulav in the shul, the reason they do it is because they want the bracha of the lulav to be very close to nanuim. And the nanuim is basically in hallel. Now, why are we taking a lulav in hallel? Did you ever stop and think about that? Why don't I eat my matzah in the middle of hallel? Well, if somebody would eat his matzah in the middle of hallel, I have news for you. That's a hefsek. And he disqualified his hallel. Why don't we blow a shofar in the middle of hallel? The answer is, only the mitzvah of lulav is min bevino, it belongs to hallel. Because the mitzvah of lulav has an element of hallel to it. Hallel is simcha. And I would even go this far, David, that if a person was not besimcha when he recited hallel with a lulav, I don't know if he fulfilled the mitzvah. Again, I'll get in deep trouble by saying it. But if we're classifying lulav in Migdash, kol shivas yamim, as a kiyum simcha, you've got to have the simcha shebelev. It's not enough just to wave a flag called a lulav and say, well, I'm like a robot and I did the action. That's enough for the kiyum. I need a kiyum shebelev. So he says the following. Hare lashan yushalmihu besimchas lulav akosu medavid. Yushalmi calls lulav simchas lulav when it refers to Kol Shiva and Migdash. And the Rambam codifies this in the Sefer HaMitzvot when he writes, Tzivanu lito lulav v'lismacho lifnei Hashem shivas yom. Really interesting. Now we have two kiyumim in lulav. Just like we started with two categories of simcha. One is the general universal simcha of all regard. Then there's the simcha in Migdash on Sukkot. Now we have two kiyumim in Sukkot itself with regard to lulav. We have the mitzvah of lulav per se, and now in Migdash we have a new mitzvah of lulav, and that's the simcha of lulav in the Beis HaMikdash. Hare the mitzvahs lulav in Migdash ika gam kiyum simcha migzeres hakosu smachtem shenemra chalos miyuchedes shel simchas yontif b'migdash. Then he says the following: Achein nira, the milvad hadin shel simchas yontif b'migdash. In other words, now we've been saying that this mitzvah of shir and shevach on sukkahs in the migdash is a kiyum yontif, and it's another dimension of simchas yontif. It's the simcha yisera of sukkahs. And lulav also is the simcha yisera of sukkahs, and it's in migdash. Od ika kiyum chalos din simcha dinemra al hakarban shal nisuch hamayim. There's a karban called Nisuch HaMayim once a year on Sukkot, and that Nisuch HaYayin, that the HaMayim, that karban requires Simcha. The karban zeh havi mechayev shel Simcha. There's no other karban that requires me to have Simcha, but this karban, which is called Nisuch HaMayim, it's a very strange and unique karban. It generates a chiyuv Simcha. And that simcha at the time of Nisuch HaMayim has nothing to do with the other simcha that we're referring to, Simchas Yontif. Who did misuyam bekarvan shal Nisuch HaMayim. So where does this belong in the Rambam? This halacha of simcha at the time of Nisuch HaMayim, that already belongs in Kachin. That belongs not to Yontif. It's not a Simchas Regel halacha, but rather it's halacha in the carbon, in the carbon called Nisuch HaMayim. Vehine mavuar b'mishnah b'sukkah toyutokim umariim b'chatzotzros b'nisuch HaMayim. That there were special instruments that were played dafka at the moment of Nisuch HaMayim, and the Rambam codifies this in Perek Yud Milchus Tmidim Musafim. Now, what's going on over here? Nisuch HaMayim with chatzotzros? That sounds like a very strange combination. And they say strange bedfellows, right? He says, Chazina dal Nisuch HaMayim nemra mitzvas chatzotzros. When the Mishnah codifies and the Rambam Hilchos Tmidim Musafim, now the Rambam's in Kachim, he's talking about Nisuch HaMayim now, a kiyum in Migdash, not a kiyum of Yontif. Here the Rambam says that we need chatzotzros. Vusev is chatzotzros. The answer is that certain karbonos have to be accompanied by musical instruments, and that's the way the carbon is brought. And now we have one precedent. We'll see if we can find other cases, but this case is going to be what? Nisuch HaMayim. Nisuch HaMayim has to be accompanied by chatzotzros. So, Danny, to get back to your original question, what difference does it make? My nafkamina, whether you classify this as a mitzvah of regel or a mitzvah of kachin. And I told you the answer, which I don't think is a bad answer, that if it's a mitzvah of regel, it puts the kachin on a separate level because it's a kiyum of regel, a kiyum of yontif, like the musafim that are brought on the holy. But now we have a different answer, and that's chatzotzos. If we're talking about a kiyum of simchas haregel, we don't find anywhere in the context of simchas haregel that we blow instruments, that we play a chatzotra, some sort of a trumpet. On the contrary, what we do is we buy new clothing and we eat meat and call it a karoilo, but we never found chatzotras. Chatzotras are only blown where? In the migdash. Because chatzotras is a kiyum migdash. Even when they blew chatzotzos because of impending doom, let's say if there was a mission of kindness and afraid of war or pestilence, whatever it is, even those chatzotzos were blown in the Migdash. And the reason I point this out to you, Rabos, is because I saw that now they started blowing chatzotzos at the Kotel. You saw it? The Machon HaMigdash, which is involved in creating different kinds of kalim. What's it, Ariel, right? Is he from Ramat Gan, or that's his brother?
No, that's his brother.
Yeah, so they have the Machon HaMigdash, and they make chatzotzos. They're very beautiful, and they're blowing it at the Kotel now. They blow it on whenever the Rabbanut decides that we have to fast the Tainis, and it's a parasha in Baal Oscha. But keep in mind that what the parasha Baal Oscha has in mind is in the Migdash. So this kind of thing about blowing chatzotzos outside the Migdash, I don't know. Don't quote me on it, but it's a little bit open kind of
It's not
Me'ila because it doesn't have Kedusha Klei Sharis. Although, I don't know. I once spoke to the rabbi. He told me that there's a mitzvah to make Klei Migdash. And that applies even today without a Migdash.
In Hafa, Zochama.
But he claimed it was a Kiyu. I don't know that there's a mitzvah to make, I don't see it in the Rambam, they make Kli Migdal, Kli Sharis. I don't know. I would say this is a political kind of statement, you know what I mean? But anyway, let's not, I don't want to get off on a tangent. In other words, they want to take over the Arabites, you know what I'm saying? I would also like to take over the Arabites, but I'm waiting for the Mashiach for that. You know? I don't know what's going to happen. Even I like Trump, but I don't know if he's going to let us take over the Arabites. Alright. He says, "Hare kol chalos chatzotzos." Whenever you find the mitzvah chatzotzos, it's a kiyum in the mikdash, and it's on a karbon, and a karbon has to be elevated to the status of shira. How do we elevate the karbon to a status of a shira on both sides?
Music instruments.
Wait, I was going to lead up to that, but what's the simple answer to the question? If you stop the Jew on the street, a half kavod chacham, he doesn't have to be a full kavod chacham. And he asked him, how do we convert a karbon into shira? I see we have no levim here in the audience. Okay. The levim is to sing at the time of the bringing of the karbonos, at the time of the nisuch, of the nesachim, and so forth. Why? Because whenever we have a karbon, we have an element of simcha. Karbon means getting close to Hashem. It's livnei Hashem, yiloshin kiru. And when we're close to Hashem, we have simcha. Smachtim livnei Hashem. And therefore the Levim are singing beautiful songs. The Gaon Mivilna says that the songs were, we can't even imagine how overwhelming that music, how powerful that music was. And now we're adding to the verbal oral singing a musical accompaniment, namely the Chatzotzos. It's all to convert and upgrade the karbon into a Kiyum Shira. Whether Shira B'peh or Shira B'kli, Kli meaning a Chatzotzos. Or, for example, we find in the Mishnayos that at the time that they did the Nisuch HaYayin, they would blow Chatzotzos. And why? Because there's a special Kiyum Shira, the Gemara says, Ein Omrim Shira El HaYayin. Yayin here is not a reference to Kiddush, but rather it's a reference to Nisuch HaYayin. Our Kiddush is in some sense a duplicate, a replacement of Nisuch HaYayin. And therefore we have a Kiyum of Shira El HaYayin. You know, you may ask yourself, why can't I take a glass of beer and recite Kiddush over a glass of beer? I'm talking on Friday night. Or, I don't know, maybe you like pomegranate juice. I don't know what your favorite... why Yayin? So the answer is, because Ein Shir El B'Yayin. That Kiddush is a kind of replacement for Nisuch HaYayin, and if we need Yayin. And once again, it's because the Nisuch is a carbon, and that carbon has to be upgraded to the level of Shira, and it's done so by blowing Chatzotzos. And not only that, you might ask, well, we're blowing Chatzotzos at the time of Nisuch HaYayin. I mean, like, what's the relationship between Yayin and Chatzotzos? He says the answer is that Yayin and Chatzotzos are both serving the same exact purpose, namely Shira. These are different ways of singing to Hashem. One is to sing Hashem over Yayin, that's called Nisuch HaYayin, and the other is to sing with Chatzotzos, so to speak, to play the Chatzotzos. So the Levim are singing at the time of the Nisuch HaYayin, that's one way of achieving Shira, and converting the Nisuch HaYayin into Shira and Shira L'Yayin. And now we add the element of Chatzotzos that's being blown, that too is going to convert the Yayin, the Nisuch, the Nesachim into what? Into a Kiyum Shira. Is Mevela Shayach Kabei Hachtina Shal Ein Omrim Shir Al Yayin V'Chein Mevur Barama Per Gimel Chizchay Migdash B'Yemei HaMoados Kulam U'Barashe Chadoshim Hayu HaKonim Tokim B'Chatzotzos B'Shas HaKarma. The Kohanim were in charge of blowing the Chatzotzos. So if you want to become a Kohen, I don't know who's going to pronounce you a Kohen and how much it's going to cost you, but the first thing is you have to take a crash course in Chatzotzos. I once tried, you know, my friend Yehuda Singer, who usually comes to the Shia when he can, he's a trumpet player. I tried, I asked him, Yehuda, let me try to blow your trumpet. I almost blew my guts out. I couldn't get a sound out of it. So the Kohanim better be well trained over here. And the Levians. What do you say?
That's a glat lungs.
Right, glat lungs. And the Levim Omrim Shira. And all this the Rav derives from the pasuk Biyom Simchaschem Umoadechem Roshechadchechem Utkatem Machatzotzos. So these are days of Simcha. And how do we achieve Simcha and fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha through Shira? And how do we achieve this Shira? Is number one through the Levim who are singing over the Korban, and number two by blowing the Chatzotzos. Harei the Klal Kiyum Chatzotzro the Kolal, excuse me, the Kolal, the Kolal Rambam included both the Kiyum Chatzotzos with the Shiras HaLevim and presented as one entity of Simcha Mishum the Travayu Havyan Dina the Shira La Korban. Very mefurish the chalos din simcha nemeres benisuch haimayim he din shel shira ala karbon. So simcha equals shira. Shira is on the karbon. Shira equals number one yayin. Shira number two equals halel to Hashem, and shira number three means the blowing of chatzotzros. They all form one entity of simcha in the Beis Hamikdash, and that's classified. That's codified in Hilchas Migdash, not in the Hilchas Sukkah, you know, in the regular Sukkahs as a Yontif, Halloch Vehine. B'Sukkah Daf Nun, Nechlegu Tanoim im HaChalil Docha Shabbos. Now, exactly what Avera is involved in blowing a Chalil on Shabbos, I don't know.
What's a Chalil?
Chalil.
An instrument?
A flute, it's a kind of a flute.
Oh.
When I was a kid, most Jewish mothers made sure that their kids would take chalil lessons. I don't know, it was very in style. And then after that, it was replaced by the guitar. Anyway, so the chalil is docha Shabbos, meaning for some reason we don't want to blow a musical instrument on Shabbos. But for the sake of the chalil, that we're going to do. And the machlokas in the Gemara revolves around the following issue: in ikar shira b'peh or b'kli, meaning we have to sing over the nisuch on Sukkos in the Beis Hamikdash. How do we fulfill that mitzvah of shira? Is it by what's called a cappella music, or is it by playing instruments? So the Gemara says that there are two opinions. One opinion says the primary mode of kiyum shira over the Karban is by singing the praises of Hashem. The other man Yomar says, no, you have to blow the instruments. And therefore, if you hold, like the man Yomar, Iker Shir B'Kli, then you need to blow the Chalil. What do you mean? But you're not allowed to blow the Chalil on Shabbos. Is the answer is, because the Chalil is not a separate independent mitzvah, but rather it's part of the mitzvah of the Karban. And the Karban is Docha Shabbos. So this is, my friends, a very typical Brisker move over here. Let me just go over it, and then Daniel, the floor is yours. In Brisk, they always ask the following question. When you subsume a certain kiyum, is it subsumed under X or under Y? In this case, we want to know, what is blowing the Chalil? What is the nature of that kiyum? Is it a kiyum of praise to Hashem? Or is the kiyum of enhancing the karbon by shira ala karbon? And then afkamina is going to be whether it's docha Shabbos. No kiyum of mitzvah could be docha Shabbos except for one exception. Actually, there's mila also, but leaving out mila is kachim. Karbonos are docha Shabbos. That's called olas Shabbos b'shabbato. That whatever malachas you have to do for the sake of bringing a karbon, if that karbon is mandated on Shabbos, I'm not talking about an adava, I'm talking about an olas chova, that will override the Shabbos. Now, you're blowing a chalil. What is that? Is it a mitzvah blowing the chalil as shira in front of Hashem? Then why should it be docha Shabbos? But if it's a kiyum karbon, then the law is that any part of the kiyum karbon, and the kiyum karbon is not just narrow with mushrooms, anything within the scope of the kiyum karbon is docha Shabbos.
I may be mistaken, but I was under the impression that not playing a musical instrument is a shuras place,
right?
Secondly, the aim shuras for me in the mikdash.
Right. So I don't know, I'm not holding the teeth enough in the sugya as to why the Gemara has to say that cholil is docha Shabbos. What do you mean docha Shabbos? First of all, on a deraisa level, what Easter is there to play music on Shabbos? There's no malach involved. Elamai is a shvus. So Daniel's right. Maybe we should override the Shavuos for the sake of Migdash. I don't know. For that, I'd have to see the Sukkah.
Unless any Shavuos Migdash means...
You have a Gemara Sukkah there?
Yeah,
so if you don't mind, again, I don't have the time to do this, but if you don't mind doing the work for me, open up to Daf Nun and see if you can find the Daf Nun in Sukkah. Well, the perek is called Hachalil, that's the name of the perek, and see if you can find the Daf Nun a discussion called Hachalil Docha Es HaShabbos. If you can find those words, you know, if we had a computer.
Dokas the Shabbos means the latter Shabbos.
Yeah, it overrides the Shabbos. So Daniel's asking, what do you mean override the Shabbos? What prohibition is there to play a Chalil on Shabbos? I mean, Mefurish, the Simchas.
He's talking about Chalil Shul Simchas Pesach She'eva.
Right. And does he say it's Dokas Shabbos? Does he use that?
Yeah, I can see there's a whole discussion.
So see if you can figure out why we need to come on to this Dokas Shabbos. And he says, Harei Mefurash, we're coming close to the end here, but at least Baruch Hashem, we're getting to the punchline. The Simchas Beis HaShoeva Hu Kiyum Shal Shira Al HaKarvan Shal Nisach HaYayim. In other words, when we discuss Simchas Beis HaShoeva, that Simcha, that unique Simcha of Sukkis, in Beis HaMikdash, and how to classify it, the answer is it belongs to two different realms. It's an overlap. It's on the one in a kiyum of Simchas HaRegel, and that's why the Rambam has it in Hilchos Lulav, and he says, you know, we have to add Shiros with Tishbachos, and that's the special kiyum of Simcha. And also the Lulav is also an additional element of Shira and Simcha in Migdash as part of Simchas HaRegel to be derived from the Samachmuth National Kechem. And number two, it's also at the same time a kiyum of what? Of carbon, of the carbon of Nisuch HaMayim. But here he ends with a question. He says, "Vehine bemis tzarch iu, harei mitzvahs chatzotzos mevur bekra di aloseichem v'zivchei shalmeichem minolan dahach dina minolan hach dina." How does Gemara know this din? What's the source for this din? The Nisuch HaMayim boi chatzotzos. We know that a carbon shlamim requires chatzotzos. We know that a carbon ola requires chatzotzos, certain kinds of carbon ola, but we never derive from any pasuk that nisach hamayim requires chatzotzos. Oh, the answer is that since nisach hamayim, like any other carbon, requires simcha, and now we're defining simcha through chatzotzos, because by praising Hashem, chalos din simcha nemeres benisach hamayim v'kiyum simcha. How do you fulfill the simcha of Nisuch HaMayim? The answer is through Shira ala Korban, and that means the Shira of praise of Hashem that we sing at the time of the Nisuch HaMayim. And that singing is achieved in two different ways. One is bepeh and one is bekli. One is by verbally singing, and the other, vocalist, we'll call it, and then the other is what? Is through chatzotzros. And all this is included under the pasuk Ushavtem Mayim Besos and the Alfid Vinei Chalosh Shir Al HaKorban Shel Nisuch HaYayin. Okay? So that's where we're going to stop for today.
Can I interject then? Tosus asked my question. Is Terence is going to give another show on his Terence?
Yeah, what is he? For Rita's cash, if you don't mind.
The Mishnah says she'ended the extra Shabbos. It's actually in the Mishnah.
Ah.
The chol is not there for Shabbos. So Tosus says, I will give the chol ena asul mishum shemi is taking kli shir kloy kmoi lay masafkim lay magirim.
Right, you know, the dance, the walk.
That's in Beitza. The kain on the eish was by Mikdash. However, Beis Hashem is shani, because I mean, the Gemara, the Eina Ela Mishum Simcha Yaseira. Full stop.
One second. The Eina Ela Mishum Simcha Yaseira.
What's wrong doing with that? So how's it by Simcha Yaseira? How's it fit
in? Do we have the Masifta on Sukkah?
We might have. Oh, we did the idea. Oh, you didn't know the Gazel.
Yeah, have a look, because They have Biuri at Tosis, and I simply don't know how to interpret the words in Tosis. Tosis is saying, Shemi attacking Klishia, so he answers simply, you say Rabbi Mikvish. How does that answer his question? This is what we call in Yiddish, Teichwert. Right? I don't know Teichwert. I don't know how to translate the word.
Simply Yisera isn't the same Simcha as the Rav is talking about, which is in etzma Simcha of carbon, which makes.
No, but Daniel, how does that answer his question? Why are you racking your brains? Docha Shabbos and a Docha Shabbos. The whole thing is only Shemi attacking Klishia.
And Shmos Midrash can't apply it for Simcha Yisera.
Oh, that's what he means. Oh, so then when the Mishnah says doche, it means that we're doche the shmuz, or not doche the shmuz, whatever.
Yeah.
Ah, so you're asking about ain't shmuz for Migdosh? The answer is, that doesn't apply in the case of Simcha Yisera. That's against the Rav, maybe.
Because
the Rav would say, Adarava, the Simcha Yisera here is the key of karma. So then for sure it should be doche shmuz. But again, we didn't finish the piece yet. You know, you never know. He may answer.
It's extra Simcha. It's not the normal Simcha, it's extra Simcha.
Yeah, I don't know. It may theoretically.
That's why we should simply say it be different. You don't have to be terrible, Shem. You can't do theory, Shem. I'm not sure that comes from.
But you're right. He's probably saying, Tosis, that for this kind of simcha, we wouldn't apply the rule of Ein Shvus B'Migdash. Ah, wait a minute. I think I know maybe what he's saying over here. You know what he's saying? There are two dimensions to the Simcha Yisera, as the Rav said, right? One dimension is regel. The Rambam constantly, consistently says that Simchas HaRegel is fulfilled not only outside the Mikdash, but on Sukkos in the Mikdash. And that Simcha was a Simcha that all the entire Jewish nation participated in that. And as Don asked me before, it probably extended beyond the bounds of the Beis HaMikdash. Then you have a Simcha Yisera Dafka B'Shas Nisuch HaMayim, with blowing of the Chatzotros, and with blowing and playing the Chalil, and so forth and so on. So I don't know why, but Tosfos is saying that since there's a Simcha Yisera of the Torah's Regel, and that Simcha is not bound to the Beis HaMikdash, it's not limited to the Kohanim, because all of Klal Yisrael are equally obligated in that Simcha Yisera of Sukkos, then we don't apply the principle of Ein Shmuz for Mikdash.
Maybe that's ahead of the Machal Mikdash.
Right. But the only thing is, you have to have a Beis HaMikdash to start with. You know, I wouldn't assume that we already have the Mikdash.